Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. I feel my help in here today. Amen. You may be seated. You've been standing a long time. I do want to take an opportunity to just admonish Pastor Phil Chandler and hope that he's feeling better today as he's watching, I'm sure, from home. And we hope you feel better. Thank you for the opportunity to, amen, look after today's service in your absence. Amen. We don't take it lightly. Give honor to him and his family. They've been God sends to us here at Community Life Center. We're happy to have them. Amen. I also want to give honor to my wife and my daughter and my great niece, which we have. Amen. And all the love and support and gray hair that they provide to me. Amen. I was informed recently that I have officially gained at least one gray hair. Amen. Maybe it's a sign of my age. I don't know. I think it's more a sign of stress, but who's counting at this point? Amen. Man, I do give honor to all of my ministry brethren that are here today. I love each of you. Amen. We are a great team. Amen. Teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. I'm looking forward to 2020. Amen. I do want to approach a sermon today just slightly differently than most. Amen. If you'll forgive me, I'm going to forego reading a text at the beginning, but I promise there's going to be a lot of word today. We're going to talk about a lot of different places in Scripture, but if you'll just give me a little space today, if you can, I want to forego reading a initial text. Amen. Can I do that today? You guys okay with that? Amen. So what I want to talk about today, amen, something that's dear to me. And when I was a younger minister, I felt like every sermon I preached at me. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to maybe mature, amen, and dig into sermons that are for others and hear what God would say to others. But if you'll allow me the latitude today, I want to preach a sermon, amen, to Justin, Nicole, Grace, and Elise. And y'all, I'm going to take you with a ride with me, but I'm going to preach to my family today. My wife asked me what I was going to preach on, and I felt directed to the Spirit. I felt very clearly the voice of God like I have not felt in a long time, where God had something to say to me. And I hope God uses me to speak to you today, but he's going to speak to me and my family. Usually when preaching, preachers feel led to take a life and draw similarities to the surface. We examine that life. We'll choose a character from the Bible, whether that be David or Solomon, amen, Noah or Adam, Jesus himself or one of the apostles. But today I'm not going to draw so much as a relation to a person as I am a place. We're shown examples by people how to overcome particular sets of circumstances or struggles that one may face throughout their life. And today is no different. But instead of a person, I'm going to look closely at a place. And it's a place where we all have been, some of us are, and those that haven't will go. We're going to discuss the use of the place, the relation to the world around it, and most importantly, we're going to look to apply it introspectively to our own lives and define, possibly forever, our spiritual walk with God. We're going to examine a small creek known as the Brook Kidron. So if you'll help me today, I want to preach just for the next few moments, and I won't be long, I promise you, passing over Kidron, going beyond Kidron, getting past Kidron. So if you'll indulge me for a few moments, I'm going to do a slight Bible lesson, then I promise we'll apply it, okay? Just bear with me on the facts and maybe take some notes. Amen. The Brook Kidron's name, by definition, is black or gloomy. It means to cause to mourn. The brook Kidron forms in the mountains around Jerusalem and flows down the east side from north to south, separating the eastern wall of Old Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. It runs at the bottom of a large valley referred to as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It has been well known since before Jesus' time as being nothing more than a septic trash heap. It has been used since the earliest days of biblical history as nothing more than an open sewer. The only time water flows in the brook Kidron is when the spring rains would land in the mountains and fall down the valley looking for the floor of the Dead Sea, and it would flush the valley Kidron from all of its immediate contaminants. Stuff that had been stored there over the courses of months, maybe even years. It was a trash heap, if you will. When I was a kid, we lived in an area, amen, where you would go along the river and fish, and there was big ravines, and there was a spot in that ravine where people that lived in where we did would take their trash, and they would back their truck up to the edge and kick it over. It was full of washers and dryers and refrigerators and tires and old garden hoses with holes in them, and it was just a trash heap, if you will. Well, the Brook Kidron was exactly that. It was the neighborhood disposal of all things agrarious and not needed anymore. The Brook Kidron, amen, was known for being exactly that, and then the sewer was plumbed there. The first recorded sewer to be plumbed into the Valley Kidron came directly from the first temple. It was directly from the temple on the eastern wall where they would plumb the water that was used to clean up the bloody mess that would take place inside the temple of sacrifice. When they would come to the Passover and sacrifice their lambs, and when they would sacrifice for sin offerings, the priests would cut the jugular vein, cut the throat of the intended victim for sacrifice, and the blood would run out and go into a laver, and then from the laver it was rinsed and was gotten rid of before it began to stink. And when it was gotten rid of, it was plumbed out of the temple under the eastern wall directly into the Brook Kidron. This was a receptacle of all things disgusting. You can imagine during the Passover, amen, what the Brook Kidron might have smelled like. It was estimated that during the time of Jesus, anywhere from 175 to 250,000 lambs would be sacrificed in a three-day period of the Passover. Imagine the blood of 250,000 lambs collecting in a creek without a flow. Imagine what that would smell like living off the eastern wall. I'll let your imagination run wild with that one. All of the blood and the fat and the internal juices, amen, that would be there from the slaughter would be run in to this cesspool known as the Brook of Kidron. Amen. Today, the Brook Kidron still receives 35,000 cubic meters of sewage per day between Israel and Palestine. It has never been more than just an open sewer. So Kidron is not exactly what you picture when you might think of a long weekend in the Smokies, amen, in a Gatlinburg cabin with a quiet, babbling, riffling brook and black bears and deer looking for berries and trout caught in the deeper pools. This is not what you would imagine when you think of the Brook Kidron. It was just desolate, disgusting wallow until the spring rains would bring a refreshing rainfall and by means of a flood and purge the brook of all of its infectious diseases and contaminants. The other striking thing about Kidron is that it's very conspicuously named in very specific places in the Bible. It is recorded that King David and his people escaped the murderous wrath of the king's own son Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. says there, David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. And the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the wilderness. Why does the writer of 2 Samuel find it important to mention the fact that King David had crossed over this cesspool? Why does it specifically say, I crossed over the brook Kidron on my way out of town? This was a dark day for David. Records that the whole nation wept and passed over, and that the king himself passed over the brook Kidron. It's almost as the writer very specifically punctuates the passing of king over Kidron as representative as to a very important moment in the life of King David. Man, he is looking at dark days. The gathering storm clouds of life have gathered over him and are running him out of town. The king was being chased by his very own son, who he loved so very dearly. Amen. What a great struggle it must have been for David that moment to look defeat in the face, to smell the stench of Kidron, to be running from a foe that should have loved him, to dodge the arrows of hate and disdain being slung at him by those who he cared for from their smallest time directly from their mother's womb. This was a hard situation, and such are some of us today. We've been dealt life's hardest chapters. We've read the hardest paragraphs that life has to deal with. We've seen the darkness of humanity, and we've felt the sting of sin. I feel my help here right now. God, help us today. What a great struggle for David at that moment to feel the mud squished between his toes, the stench of blood of Passover still reeking in the creek, the blackness, amen, that would have fallen to the bottom, amen, that he disturbed and stirred with his toes as he climbed up the opposite bank, looking back at his castle, wondering, where did I go wrong, and why has this come to my chapter? We find the brook Kidron separating him from pain, separating him from his anguish. What a marked moment when you would expect to hear the gentle sounds of a babbling brook, only to be thrust back into the moment by the wailing of the people that are dependent on you for strength and guidance. Some of us men, amen, we have Kidron moments when your families depend on you and you can't explain things away. When you can't make the world make sense. When you can't hold your baby and console her enough, and when you can't take your wife by the hand and lead her on and say it's going to be okay, because you don't know whether or not it's going to be okay. And yet you stumble through Kidron, making your exit wondering where it went wrong. Now we see the significance of Kidron, this cesspool. Only the stench of Kidron adds insult to injury. Just one more reminder of the clouds above you and the gloom of the situation that's staring you down. The next time we hear of the brook Kidron, we find in 1 Kings chapter 15 that King Asa is tearing down idols and hauling them to Kidron, burning them with fire, solidifying Kidron as a place to rid the world of filth and idolatry more than just a sewer. Amen. Perhaps it was the fact that Kidron had already been used as a sewer. Amen. And it was a trash heap that led Asa to carry the idols to be destroyed there. The Bible doesn't record. It just simply says that that's where they were destroyed. Next, we find 200 years later where King Hezekiah again rids the city and God's own temple of the idolatry and filth. And much like Asa before him, he carries the idols to Kidron. He burns them with fire into nothing but a heap of ash. This wasteland is beginning to collect a reputation that far exceeds many of our own dumps in our area now. Now we have, amen, Indiana Department of Environmental Management that regulate where the water can go and regulate where the stuff can blow, and we have these statutes that keep us, amen, from allowing our trash, but not in Kidron. In Kidron, it just sits and reeks and smells of death. It smells of the disgusting portions of life that nobody wants to deal with. And yet, you know, we find many times people crossed over Kidron. The next time we hear the region, Jesus himself, or Josiah himself again removes idols and dumps them in Kidron. This time he commands the idols to be trampled into dust. So the dust of idolatry mixes with the ash of past mistakes and the stench of sacrifice that we don't understand, creating this whirlwind, this cauldron of sickness and disease just off the walls of Jerusalem, the beautiful city and temple just above it on the mountaintop. And like many of us, we've experienced those times from mountaintop sacrifice. I love God and I'm in right standing, to I have to go to the Mount of Olives. And immediately we go from the top to the stinkiest bottoms, and we don't understand how it happens so fast. How can the blood of the sacrifice, amen, to cover my sin have marred me such a way that I smell like it now? Things are quiet. Kidron is not mentioned again until Jesus himself. He just wrapped up his Passover supper with his disciple, and he heads for Gethsemane to pray. Gethsemane is located on the northern face of the Mount of Olives. Matthew, Mark, and Luke just say he goes to Gethsemane to pray. But Matthew was a tax collector. He was very matter of fact. Luke was a doctor. He was only concerned with final destinations. And Mark has a flavor of writing all his own. But John, the beloved, amen, as he writes, amen, in his very own gospel, he says very specifically in John 18, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth to his disciples over the brook Cedron, which is Kidron. Where was a garden? John didn't even bother to mention the bloody garden of anguish. He didn't even bother to mention the name of it. But he mentions the brook. He mentions the brook Cedron, into which he entered in to pray, and his disciples. Immediately in the next few verses of John 18, we read about the story of Judas and his gang of soldiers arresting Jesus and carrying him away captive, and what begins the crucifixion of Jesus. Now in the next few verses, immediately after Kidron, we hear of the terrible things that befell our Lord. What must have been on the mind of Jesus as he walked along the bloody brook Kidron? Now, mind you, amen, Jesus was arrested on the fourth day of his passion, which happened to also be the first day of Passover. The brook would have been red, freshly painted with sacrificial blood from the temple above. It would have very freshly smelled the iron smell of blood as it flowed down the brook Kidron. Very freshly painted with the blood of sacrifice walked the Lamb of all eternity. What must have been the thoughts of the Lord as he walked along that path and smelled the stench of the situation? He had healed their sick. He had straightened their limbs, their children. He had rid them of disease, delivered them of demonic attacks. And yet, in the middle of the night, they pursued him along the stinky brook Kidron. It wasn't bad enough that he had to cross the old valley of Kidron to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was insult to injury to know that they were going to follow him and arrest him there. Wasn't bad enough to be in a dirty and dark situation and not be able to see your way out, but to know that hell's hounds were on his heels the entire way. He loved them. He fed them when they were hungry. He rid them of palsies and sent them home carrying beds that they had been carried in on. I wonder if Jesus, like David, heard the cries of a nation. I wonder if he smelled the stench of the creek, reminding him of his trip to Bethany to raise Lazarus, whom he loved. And yet along the way, he trod through the blood of lambs and the waste of the world to submit to a cross for sin. Did he step through the ashes and dust of idolatry that were made despite him, and yet make by the hands of them that were supposed to love him on his way to Gethsemane? Did Jesus know the gravity of the situation? Of course he did. He knew that we were going to have kindreds of our own. He knew that we were going to have rejections and hurts and stinking situations that hurt us deep. Amen. He knew we were going to have our own gloomy, dark days, and yet he trod that night through Kidron. He could have called 10,000s of his angels, and yet he splashed that night through waste and garbage so he would take a cup. When he made it to the Garden of Gethsemane, his final prayer that is recorded scripturally is, "Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, I'll take Kidron. Wonder if the wind blew that night from the west across the valley of Kidron and carried the smell of sacrifice up the hill to Gethsemane. I wonder if he could smell and hear the ewing of the lambs just a fifth of a mile over the hill. I wonder if he heard the baying of the lambs and recognized his own voice sounding like a baying lamb. I wonder, how is it that we find ourselves in Kidron and despair and desolation of our own? How is it that we refuse to remember when Jesus himself walked the brook Kidron? We can make it. God is our example that on the way to Calvary, before his arrest, he walked through the Kidron, amen, that our waste goes to. He walked through that Kidron. He splashed through the mud, amen, of disgustingness that our life brings. And he come out the other side to accept a cup and go to Calvary for our sin. That's the kind of love that Jesus possesses. It's a love that goes beyond Kidron. Never you mind the fact that when Jesus left this earth, he left from that same mountain after being seen in Jerusalem. He crossed Kidron numerous times, but the Bible ever only talks about it one time. On his way to Gethsemane to pray. And so I would ask, as the music comes, I told you I wouldn't preach long. I would ask it as you come to pray today, leave Kidron behind you. Know that God has defeated Kidron in your life, that he has walked over the mess in life and come out the other side, amen, a savior and a king. Amen, he bore the transgression on his shoulders the day he was crucified on Calvary. Amen, as you look to your future, remember Kidron behind you and know, amen, that the sacrifice has been made. I may have walked through dark valleys. I may have walked through times of mourning, but I'm going to leave it behind me because God has given me victory over Kidron. God set us up for an example that a path and bore the cup of our heaviness. He drank the bitter dregs from the bottom of the cup, amen, so that we could survive. Kidron. He drank it right down to the last drop like a cheesy coffee commercial. Because he knew we'd have a Kidron. He knew my family would have a Kidron of our own. He knew your family would have a Kidron. I want you to think back on your life. Think back of the situations God's brought you out of. Your very own Brook of Kidron's. Think back about the ugly days, the dark days. Remember again the stench of sacrifices made on our behalf. Hear, if you will, the sandal-shod feet of Jesus splashing through Kidron in the middle of the night for our sakes. Everybody talks about Gethsemane, and we should. We talk about the great drops of blood rolling down his brow, and we should. We talk about the disciples that couldn't pray not even 1 hour. God forbid we're the disciple, but before you get to Gethsemane, there's a Kidron. There's each of us have a Kidron. Each of us have dark chapters that we don't want nobody to read. We have tender spots in our spirit that we don't want God to touch. Many of us carry scars through life that we don't want God to maneuver us on. We don't want God to commit surgery on an appendix that's burst in your life of Kidron. We bury them in sarcasm and we chalk it up to an ugly chapter. We never deal with the root of the issue, and that's that we trod through Kidron in the last year. Maybe it was 20 years ago. Maybe it's when you're a teenager. Maybe it's something somebody who should have loved you didn't do. Maybe it was something somebody that should have cared for you dropped the ball, and you were left on your own. Hands and knees in the dark, fumbling through Kidron. I ask you today, what is your Kidron? The Lord splashed through that for you on his way to Gethsemane. The Lord splashed through your Kidron with Judas and soldiers on his heels. He splashed through that mess for you. He smelled the stench and despair of despondent human beings and how disgusting we can be to each other. The evil that runs through this world. He splashed through the dry ashes of idolatry and setting ourselves up to be our own savior, and we bail ourselves out and just work more overtime rather than depend on God, and we go through all these things and we never let God deal with us at Kidron. That's where we exist. And I'm asking you today to look introspectively, look deep within your heart today at your own Kidron. And hear the Savior splashing through. Let him touch you today in a place you've never been touched before. Maybe you've got issues from your teenage years or young child years or an adult years or those that should love you that didn't or those that hurt you that you never expected. I'm asking you today to go back to Kidron and take hold of the hand of the Lord and let him walk you to Gethsemane. Amen. If you would stand with me all over this house today. Amen. I'm inviting you to come. Come through your Kidron and expect the Lord to help you today. Amen. God is going to touch somebody today. It may not be for everybody. I realize that I may be only talking to just a few today. I'm really only concerned about Justin, Nicole, Grace, and Elise today. And we're coming out of Kidron. We're coming out of Kidron. I refuse to stay any longer in the stench of 2019. I refuse to stay in the blood-soaked banks of Kidron any longer. I refuse. God's already delivered me. Why would I stay in Kidron when God wants to give me victory? Why would I stay in Kidron? Why would you stay in bitterness for years when God wants to deliver you? Why would you let somebody else's hurts, amen, hold on to you for eternity? I'm asking you today to let go. I'm asking you today to dig deep and pull deep within. again. Amen. Remember the stench of Kidron and then move on. Amen. Would they sing today? Would you come? I invite each of you to come. Bring somebody with a hand. Say, let's leave Kidron together. Amen. I'm tired of living in the shadows of the valley. I want to go back to the mountaintop, back to the temple of God. I want to experience the freedom and liberty of worship. Amen. In 2020. God bless you. Would you come? Hallelujah.